Three Steps Forward, Two Steps Back by Charles Swindoll. Chapter 8, Mistakes, Inevitable Marks of Imperfection. We Christians suffer from a very common ailment, making honest mistakes. I'm not talking now about willful sin. Mistakes can lead into sin, but honest mistakes are simply, well, let's listen to Mr. Webster. To make a mistake means to choose wrongly or to make a wrong judgment. Webster amplifies this in a second meaning, a wrong attitude, action, or statement proceeding from faulty judgment, inadequate knowledge, or intention. Remember now, we're not talking about out-and-out purposeful rebellion. We're certainly not talking about demonic deception. We're talking about honest-to-goodness, simple, garden-variety mistakes, to which we are all prone. But these simple mistakes, as we shall see, frequently open the door to sinful activity. I have found five categories of mistakes illustrated in Scripture. Our mistakes, and some of the factors leading to those mistakes, are in these categories. Number one. Panic-prompted mistakes. There are mistakes we invariably make out of fear or from being in a hurry or as a result of worry. We panic and make a wrong decision. Let's look at Genesis 12:10. This mistake was made by Abraham. Remember that God had said to Abraham, "You are my man. Through you a nation will be born, and you will have a heritage like no other man that has lived, Abraham. Stand fast. Trust me through all the cares of life, and I will bring through your life a nation." With that promise still ringing in his ears, Abraham panicked. We read, "Now there was a famine in the land. There was no bread and no meat. Apparently, there was not much water either. Things had gotten tight. So Abraham made a mistake and went down to Egypt. Why? He got shook. Even though God had said, "Abraham, you stay beside me at the altar at Bethel, and I will make you a man of God, and through you I'll give birth to a nation." He panicked and headed south, for the famine was severe. And when you make a panic mistake, you simply make the first one, and it quickly leads to the next, like a row of dominoes. Enter the next. And it came about, when he came near to Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and it will come about when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you." Genesis 12, verses 11 through 13. Oh, we know that whether he will live or not doesn't depend on Sarah. He will live on account of God. But you see, when you move into Panic Palace, your whole focus gets twisted, and you forget what God has said. Instead, you give direct attention to what man has said, rather than God, and what people think, rather than Scripture. Numbers 13 and 14 illustrate a second example of panic errors. The Hebrew spies went into the Promised Land to see if the children of Israel could take the country just beyond Kadesh Barnea, a border city. The spies came back with the U.S. Supreme Court sort of majority report. 10 said, "No way, there are giants in the land. Compared to them, we're like little grasshoppers." Two of them said, "We can take that land. God gave it to us. It's a promised land." The people believed the majority report out of panic fear. They determined not to go into the land. And what happened? They were made to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They made a bad mistake. In this case, it was out and out sin. But what prompted it was the mistake of listening to wrong counsel and believing it.